and the water crisis.
Yep.
Our forefront.
It seems to, you know, like yesterday reported, it was zero inpatients at Mercy Health Center, which is a good sign that this thing is starting to wane a little bit. But they always tell you, you know, don't let your guard down, okay? Go ahead and still keep your mask on, your social distancing, and for those that choose to get vaccinated, do so. But it's just, you know, it's refreshing to see that we have an administration that has compassion for people. The other night I watched Biden and Jill do the 500,000, do a tribute to those 500,000. And, you know, the reason that it has to garner so much attention is that you can take all the world wars that we've been involved with, from Vietnam to the Middle East, World War II, and it does not come up to that many people, right? Mm. 500,000, half a million people have lost their lives to COVID. And I just think that from an administrative standpoint, that was the right thing to do, is to honor those families that have lost loved ones. And my hat is off to them, man. I mean, that's the kind of leadership we want to see.
That's right.
Some compassion.
And where it goes from a macro situation, like you said, to micro, I was on a Rotary member, and I saw that it was zero beds. You know, zero beds filled. We had all these extra beds now.
Right.
Where, and then the second wave is here too, but a lot of people getting their second vaccination too.
Yeah.
I done had my first one already.
Same here.
Yep, so I'm waiting on my second one in March. So I'm like,
man, in March, right around the corner, next week.
I'm rolling with the process. I'm not being with the people that's trying to be in the psych movement, I'm trying to psych people out and say, oh, this ain't COVID ain't true. And I heard somebody talking about, what about the homeless people? They don't have to wear a mask.
It is always a caveat to every situation.
Like, what kind of thinking is that?
They should be wearing a mask. They're free.
He said, oh, their immune system's super strong because they got to sleep under a bridge or something. That's crazy, man.
Yes.
Why would you even bring that up?
Makes no sense at all. You know, so, but you're right. You got those kind of people out there that's going to poo-poo on everything that comes up. They're the naysayers. But I looked at it like this, Coach. I said, well, I don't have to get it or I can get it. What do you think, you know, being a black male and really no underlining health conditions. I said, you know, I think it's the wise thing to do. But again, it's an individual choice.
Yeah.
Right?
And I got it. And then it knocked me out for about a little, I say, probably like a 10-hour period. I felt it.
Really?
Yeah. But that's everybody got their thing. I had a sore arm. Like you said, you had nothing. You
nothing,
was good. You
man.
Kept a ticket.
No, you know, and I
probably because you're a Raiders fan.
I got a few years on you.
Because you're probably a Raiders fan.
Yeah, baby.
Big Al came through in your bloodline. Them people crazy, the Raiders fans. You're a Raiders fan. So you be able to deal with the vaccination. It took me out for a second. I was like, oh. And after I seen y'all on Friday. Me and Mihan left and we got breakfast. And I asked you, he was like, no, I got something to do. So we ate and I went home and I had the cold chills. I was like, what's wrong? Then I had a headache or something. And then I was like, my wife came home. She had the ibuprofen. She's like, here you go. Here you go. Yep. Next thing you know, I laid out, had a little sweat, woke up the next day. I was ready to exercise and everything again.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess it just depends on everybody's DNA, right?
Right, yep.
It's how they react to it. So, but again, that's like I say, it's an individual decision. One of the newsworthy topic before we get into our subject today is our boy Tiger Woods, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes,
cannot avoid catastrophe. when something happens to Tiger, it's just not, you know, a little something. It's always big.
I didn't know he had all them pre-injuries before that. Like, his body was like that before that.
Yeah, he had five back surgeries, man.
From playing golf?
From playing golf, man. There's an HBO special on the life of Tiger Woods. I happened to watch it last night. Absolutely fantastic. Absolutely.
I've been seeing it on HBO Max. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, yeah. You got to watch it, man, to get the backstory on it. And very, very interesting. And it's just like, you know, I had talked to some folks, you know, they were saying, well, he was probably, you know, medicated because of the previous back surgeries. But it turns out that it wasn't. I'm going to give you my cut, all right? the Jennison Open was out in California this past week, and they gave him a car.
Yeah, he had a Genesis. $70,000 vehicle, at least.
Yeah. Brand new, first year. Had never, you know, it's like anything with that first year model might have some issues with it. And I'm thinking it was an issue with the car.
Me too.
Okay. For that amount of damage, and they said that there was no braking involved, right? They couldn't, you know, no skid marks. It has a black box, just like an airplane does.
Yeah, they make them like that now.
So they'll be able to get this black box and take a look at all the operating parameters of the vehicle to be able to assess what happened. You know, was it speed related? You know, they'll be able to tell you how fast he was going, the whole nine yards. So I'm waiting to hear that information come out because I've seen it happen. I've seen cars malfunction where people, you know, I don't care what you do, that car just it won't stop.
I've seen some Cadillacs do that. Ford Fusions did that in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an Acura that did that once. Yeah, did that. Man, my wife could not stop it. It just kept going until it ran into a fence. It's the only thing that stopped it. So they malfunction, you know, and you got all, you know, nowadays the things are so computerized, we don't know what malfunctioning.
Yeah, they got so many microchips in them, they said we was running out of microchips.
Yeah, they had to halt production at auto plants because they didn't have enough auto chips. And I think we discussed this on the show, that during the pandemic, when the production stopped on the assembly lines, the chip producers got this inventory of chips. And what happened was people were staying home more, so the toy makers, the game makers, started buying up all the chips.
That's right, for the PlayStations and
right.
Xboxes.
And all the various games and stuff. So when they got ready to ramp back up, that inventory was basically depleted, but the demand for those games was still high. So the auto industry was at a disadvantage to try to get those chips in order to maintain the production of their vehicles. And sometimes you're probably under pressure, you may develop these chips at a rate that you're not used to.
So just look at that. The same chip that'll run a video game run your car. So
yes,
your car
sir.
Can malfunction.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we'll wait to see. You know, we wish the brother nothing but the best. But I truly believe his golf days are over because Tiger's 45.
Yeah.
And these are some tremendous injuries.
On the tendon, the ligaments, the cartilage, the joints.
Yeah.
On the leg.
Yeah, I think his biggest challenge at going forward will be to walk and be able to play golf on a casual basis. No more competitive golf. You know, with his son, you know, he can go out maybe play around the golf with his son. That's probably his main objective at this point as far as rehab goes. But competitive golf, I think it's over. Yep, the way he torqued that body, man, when he hit a golf ball.
Yeah, you can't. You need them legs. You need them legs planted.
Yeah.
All that.
Yep. So I think he just want to get back to a normal life, not golf.
So we still on sports. I mean, Michigan State popped Illinois.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
Broke that boy nose, though, that guard.
Okay, I missed the game.
Yeah.
I was listening to it on the radio. I think I was coming home from the basketball game the other night.
The point guard from Illinois. Yeah, it was Muskegon played.
Illinois, that's who they had.
Yep, Michigan played. Michigan State played Illinois.
Illinois.
Muskegon had a game that day, but
they
broke that point guard that's going to be All-American. Like, he broke his nose. It was like, you got to
get
him out. Thomas was like, you got to get him up out of there. We got to win this game. So anyway to get a victory and get into the tournament, I see.
And they played tonight, if I'm not mistaken, at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I know Michigan has Iowa tonight.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that should be a good game. And who does State have?
I can't remember.
Is it Ohio State?
I hope not.
Yeah. Well, the Big Ten is starting to wind down on their schedule, but I did see that this morning. So, but, you know, a good program like that, man, they just fell on some hard times. And, I mean, Duke, Kentucky, all the big name schools have fell on hard times this year. So,
they're not immune.
Yeah,
like you said, even speaking on this, the respective of our girls that – that's from Muskegon. They balling. Liza and Drake and them. I've seen them in the news. Their team's doing pretty good.
They got a big game tonight. They're playing Mona Shores, who's undefeated.
Yep.
And I think they can take them down, man. Yeah. They beat the old coach the other night. They got Coach Rodney.
Yeah, I seen that.
Overtime.
Yeah, overtime. But that just shows the vigor that's in that rivalry now.
Yeah.
Because Coach Pierce, she learned up under him, and every time they play, it's a battle.
It's a battle, man. You know, and I just love basketball when it's crosstown rivalries.
Yeah.
You know. When,
all that record stuff out the window.
Yeah.
Ain't no record.
Yeah.
So, like, Mona Shore is in for it tonight because Nash is a beast.
Oh, yeah.
Nash is a beast, brother. She's walking triple-double.
Yep. I don't know why her name is not in the mention for Miss Basketball. I don't get that.
I don't know either.
I don't get it.
Because, I mean, if you want to say she's what she's running at, if you want to put her numbers against anybody else and then you put up her winning track history, she's played at least a district championship or better.
Yeah.
She done played for a championship every year of her career.
Pro varsity career, man.
Either a regional. She done won regional championships, 2-0. Mm-hmm. She done played in three district championships, won two of those. So what's wrong with her resume? And she's been a starter for at least three of those 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
So Nash a beast.
She is, man.
She averaging almost a triple-double right now. So I can't take nothing away from her. And then, like I say, Pierce is knowing what to do with her. And like I said, they played Reese Puffer to overtime and won. That's that battle-tested team again.
Yeah, on their turf, you know, on their course. So, and Sims, I think she's a very good complement to her. Yeah,
good shooter and tough girl,
too.
Yeah,
she can handle the rock, and she can get positioned down low and wreak havoc. So, I think tonight's going to be a very good measuring stick to find out what they got to do to get ready for this tournament.
Oh, yes.
That second season, what it's all about.
Yes, it is. And, I mean, Nash has able to play all five positions, so that's going to be a problem for everybody else. So,
they just need a little help. They don't need a whole lot. Just a little help from the supporting cast.
Yep, the supporting cast can put at least a double-double together.
Yeah.
If Sims do her thing, 10 and about 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and you get a group of people to put 15 points together as a team.
Right.
You need a three-headed monster. So that's it. That's how it goes.
That's it.
And then the boys, I watch all the games, and the boys looking pretty good.
They are.
They young. They look like puppies out there, but they not no little puppies, I tell you that. They not small.
No, no.
Yep.
No, and then, you know, everything is just off kilter this year, right? We know that.
No summer basketball because Coach Guy, he got to have his summer.
Yeah.
Because he got to build his culture and what he expect out of his kids. So he didn't have that
this
summer. So I'm looking at this team like, hold on, And then when they played Grand Blanc, that's what I noticed. It's when I said, oh, they got blew out. Like, no, they didn't. They lost by 18. As a coach, that's three mistakes in the first quarter that somebody scored off of. It could be a three-pointer. That's 9 points.
Yep.
It could be second quarter, three more mistakes. Or it could be a total of 7 or 9 mistakes you made in the game throughout the game that could easily be converted into your mistakes was points for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 18.
That's 18.
Over the course of a 36-minute game. So you got to look at it as a coach and say, what mistakes, when we're watching film, did we make repeatedly over and over that a team capitalized off of?
Yep.
Once you get rid of them and get them down to 5 or 3 or 6, and I saw that in the next couple games they played after they played Reese Puffer after that.
Yeah, they played Puffer, and they played very well.
And Puffer was not no weak team.
I seen
Puffer run through Whitehall. Whitehall is a beast.
Yeah.
They ran right through them.
I was impressed. They had good inside size, three-point shooting. The next team up is Mona Shores, and they're going to use Mona Shores as a real good hard scrimmage, okay? It's not going to be close because the big game is Saturday afternoon with Zeeland East. That's the big dog in OK Green.
Yeah, they got the college prospects.
Yeah.
And I think that's the last time Coach Guy really had, I would say, he always has good competition. But that's the only team that could, and when he first started out in Muskegon, that was the only team that gave them young teams a run when he first started.
Yep.
And we was in that conference. And then, so they got a history of like, oh, what's up, Muskegon? What's up? We beat you twice. What's up? We got you. We got you. We 2 out of 3 with you. What's going on?
They circle that game on their schedule, right? Yep. Muskegon. Yep. That's the game that we want.
And they just ran through Mona Shores, boys. So East did. So they like, that film is out there.
Yeah, and you know, and Reese Puffer, they beat Zeeland West.
Yeah.
East beat West by 5.
Yeah.
All right? So that tells me, you know, that's a rivalry, of course. But it also tells me that these Big Reds, provided they don't create too many turnovers.
Yes, sir.
They can handle them. That's the only downfall. We got to make our free throws.
Yeah, I see that with that young team. Yeah. They got to make
free throws. And no turnovers. We can beat just about anybody. Yeah. So, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
And that's it. That's the direction I see them going. I really do like watching the games on that platform. I don't know where it's going to go if the world finds a new normal.
Right.
But I enjoy doing that, getting my meals, sitting down.
I know it, man.
And just come home. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when it's in the dead of winter.
Yeah,
it's cold outside and it's snowing inside. Yep. You say, man, I want to really go to the game.
I'm a former coach, so I'm like, look, if I could just sit down and watch a game and it's the only person talking to me is my wife.
Yeah.
And if she'll bother me watching a minute in the league, I'm good.
Yep. In the comfort of my home, when the game's over, I'm going to have to go out and clean my car up, let it warm up.
Yeah, I know.
All I got to do is head for the bed.
Yep. So that's been a blessing, being able to watch the kids in that platform. So that's all.
Yeah.
That's in the sports world, but hey, we're here. We COVID shots and all those other things that's been going on. It's still tax season. It was pushed back a little bit, but I also noticed that the PPP loan by the new administration, they said they opened it up for 2 weeks for small gig and sole proprietors.
That's
people with 20 or less employees.
That's great, man. That is absolutely great.
Yep, because I'm like, if it was a windfall for the last administration to just open it up and give people millions of dollars.
The fat cats got paid.
And I'm a sole proprietor, so I missed that opportunity.
Yeah, same here.
I saw some emergency IEL money, you know, with that one, but that was like dropping the bucket compared to what I really lost.
Oh, no doubt.
So I'm like, man, if I'm a sole proprietor with 1-2 employees and I showed a loss of income, how do I sustain myself when I saw organizations receive 500? 200
millions,
and they laid people off.
Millions.
I saw companies lay people off after they got the money.
Yeah, that was not the intent. That's not intent.
They laid people off and closed the doors of their business. So I got $3 million. I don't have to work no more.
Right, I'm good.
I'm closing my franchise now.
Yeah.
I've seen that with several franchises in West Michigan.
Yeah, so, well, one that got all that money was when Ruth Crisp, and there was a couple other ones, and I can't remember the name of the franchise that gave the money back. After the story broke, realized.
I think it was Ruth Chris.
Was it Ruth Chris? Okay. Yep. Well, somebody gave that money back saying, you know what? We shouldn't be taking this money. That money was really, you know, was used for the small business. Now, the other guys, you know, the airlines, the cruise ship industry, there were some industries of hospitality that said that they really needed some help from a bailout. I get that. But, But the amount of money they got was disturbing when you went into the millions. And like you say, then they turn around and lay people off and shutter stores. That's taking advantage of the system.
Yeah. So, like, I'm glad this administration recognized that, hey, we want to get this the person that really makes America tick.
Yeah.
That's a small business owner that's trying to put food on their table by having an income. Either they work in a job and then they got this hustle that's really – paying bills still on the side. That's the American way. I noticed. Go to work, then figure out another multiple stream of income, whether it's investments or it's having your own side business or something. That always helps you make the ends meet.
Right. So, you know, you look at some of the major restaurants. We'll use these as an example. Your McDonald's, your Burger King, your Wendy's, they was able to maintain their drive-through traffic at a relatively good pace. But you take small town businesses like a US 31, there was this one little restaurant downtown that just opened up, a little Italian restaurant. Those are the ones that can't sustain it because they're not set up to cater to drive through or walk up takeout and, you know, that kind of thing. So they were at a disadvantage.
Yep.
And I think our community needs those kinds of businesses, man.
And that's what we adopt at the school I work at, MCEC. We adopt that concept where we had a show where we had fun talking about community involvement, career readiness, social emotional learning, and nutrition. And Brent White, the former offensive coordinator for Muskegon Public, he intentionally goes to small businesses, and we on our platform on social media through our MCEC Fam show, he strategizes and goes to those small businesses, and we pay full price for the meals.
Right.
But we talk about the meals. Like today we did, and this is a pre-recorded show, we did Yum Yum Sushi. We had their business, small business in the area off Henry. We've did the Whammo Wings. We've did the Lou Soul Field. We did businesses that are not corporate, major, big brand names, but mom and pop's own.
Right.
Get ready to get to Navarro's. Get ready to get to the little tamales off the over here, off A Street, the tamale spot. They're coming up. We're going to get
there. Yeah, Navarro's. They just opened back up.
Yeah, we're going to be hollering at her.
She posted something today on Facebook.
Yep, they back up and open. We'll get to them. You know, small town, small people that's doing it right, that's franchised in a way where word of mouth business is great.
Yep. That's what the community needs. I mean, the Wendy's of the world, the McDonald's of the world, the Burger King's of the world, they'll survive.
That's right.
Okay, they got the corporate dollars behind them. But these small mom and pops are the ones that we as a community need to make sure that we go and buy, you know, a lunch, a dinner, or a breakfast from them in order, and like I say, we're not looking for discounts. We just want to make sure that they survive this pandemic. So I get that. That's what it's about, man.
Yes, it is. Speaking of PPA loans, they want you to make sure your taxes are together. So we got how you can save money on your taxes. They pushed it. They just now opened it up in February for you to file, right?
Yep.
So now it's time to get those documents together. And I'm going to say this to the audience, of what I've learned, it being injured, being PIP, personal injury, for insurances, keep strict accounts because they will audit everything you have when it comes to getting money for taxes, getting money for anything. If you keep strict accounts, you can have a voice at the table when it's time for you to have some residual or some type of income in your pocket when it comes to taxes. Keep strict accounts. Pay professionals to handle your paperwork.
Yeah, you got money on the table, man.
Man. And I'm glad that I've had the mentors that I had and people in my life that I've had. So when I've faced, I wouldn't say crisis, but when I faced opportunities to capitalize on situations where it could have took me out financially,
mm-hmm.
I had my paperwork in order because of, God rest his soul, my accountant and his company had me ready.
Right.
Where I could push a button. Oh, you need this and this and this? Oh, I got that. You need this and this and this for this PPP loan? Oh, I got that. You want this for this EDIL loan? I got that. For this grant? Oh, I need that. I got this. Having that paperwork in order when it comes to taxes is not just saying, I'm not looking for a refund. I don't care about the refunds.
No.
I don't think about no refund. So if you think about a refund, you're in the wrong mindset. You want to think about, how can I keep more money? How can I strategically save more? And how can I put more somewhere else and say, I got these nest eggs moving. And like you saw, I say, you got these buckets of money that's making these things happen in the future for you. So, and I think just being able to strategically put your taxes in a space where you know where the money's going and you saving, but you also are saying, I don't have no tax bill, or you paying a tax bill back because you don't leverage the tax system.
Right. That's it, man. Documentation. You know, keeping good records is what Chauncey is trying to tell our audience, is that regardless of what you're doing, be it taxes, being if you, like you say, if you got a medical situation, the key is good documentation of that trail or what happened from the day it happened up to this point.
Yeah, here's an example. If your investments earn money, all right, so it says to review. So it says capital gains on stocks, mutual funds, and other assets held for 1 year or less are taxed at an ordinary rate on a tax rate. For assets held for more than a year, capital gains rates range from 0 to 20%. If you're single and your 2020 taxable income was less than $40,000 or $80,000 if you were married and filed jointly, you won't have to pay any taxes on assets held for more than 1 year. Now, to avoid paying more than you owe, make sure you have the correct cost basis for any investment you sold in 2020. Now, when they talk about cost basis, it's your field. What do they mean by that? They have a term that's broken down, but how could you put that in terms with somebody like, hey, man, I don't do stocks. Tony, tell me what they're talking about when it comes to cost basis.
Cost basis is, you know, you take a look at what you paid for the stock, right? And if it appreciated in value, and if it paid dividends, then you take whatever you paid for the stock, and then if it appreciated in value, whatever that difference is considered a capital gain. And that's what they want you to pay taxes on. Well, it also works in reverse as well. If that investment lost money, so now it's not a taxable event. And normally you'll get a statement at the end of the year from your mutual fund company telling you what that cost basis is and what portion of that you have to pay to the IRS, even though you never took possession of that money. So it's basically, it's not as complicated as it sounds. It's basically what you paid for that mutual fund or for that stock. And at the end of the year, did it appreciate in value or whatever that difference is? If it went up $2 per share and you got a 20 cents dividend, so at the end of the year, you basically made $2.20. And that becomes a taxable event, capital gains in the eyes of the IRS.
All right, listen to this example.
But again, you can offset it with losses. If you had others that you lost money on, and it was a $2, you lost $2.20, then it's a wash. You owe nothing.
So then what that got to do with when you short a stock?
Okay, so we're talking shorting stock is somewhat of a whole different animal. But what it is, normally when you short a stock, you're basically financing this transaction to say that this particular stock is worth $10 today, but I'm going to short that stock to say that it's going to be worth $8, okay? But I'm going to finance that through my brokerage firm, and they'll basically buy that stock, and then you know, there's a finance charge, of course, that you would pay. So you're going to short that stock over a six-month period. Now, if that stock goes down to like $8, then you basically made money on that short, because the difference between the $8 at $10 and you shorted it at $8 says that you made money, because you purchased it. Well, actually, you lost money, but the deal was you knew it was going to go to $8. So there's other people that probably bought that stock thinking they shorted it on the high end. All right. It's $12. So you made the difference between the $12 and the $8. So that's $4 a share that you basically made. And then when you cash that out, you pay off your brokerage account. You keep the rest. But in the case with GameStop, it got totally out of hand, right? Where they shorted that stock, and it was like, $6.51, okay? And if somebody shorted it thinking it was going down, and they shorted it at $4, that mug went up to $483 a share. And that's why there's all this investigation and these hearings that's going on in Congress, because those people that shorted that stock, and most of these are hedge funds, right? And we know the kind of money the hedge fund guys be throwing around. Well, they had to pay off
all them people because they sold them stock too.
They were forced to buy those stocks at that 483.
Because
they shorted them.
So they had to spend that money.
They had to come up with that cash. They shorted that stock to say, yeah, it's selling at $6.51, but we think it's going lower. We think it's going to go to $4.
And it went to 400.
And it went to 483. So it's called margin call. Yeah. Margin call says, hey, we're calling in all the margins. So when they called them in at 483, you got to come up with that cash, baby. And so that's what happened.
The best way for me to understand that, and I'm going to give everybody this movie, Trading Places with Eddie Murphy, when they did that to those brokers.
Yeah. Yep, it's basically what happened, man.
Yep.
Yeah, and it just happened with silver.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, price of silver just, went up, and silver is a hard currency, right? So normally if you buy silver, you're actually taking possession of the silver versus, stock is basically a paper transaction. And, people lost hundreds of millions of dollars on that GameStop deal.
All right, listen to this one. So we'll finish up with this. And so it says, if stocks were hot, Bitcoin was a conflagration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Topping at $20,000 in December for the first time in its 12-year history. So it's not even a young currency, right? If you were fortunate enough to buy Bitcoin when it was less than five figures, you're sitting on big gains. So it's particularly important to understand that the IRS views Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency as assets.
Oh,
so
yeah.
When you're excited about, it's worth $10,000, I bought it at this much, you got to pay tax on that.
Capital gains.
So do you pay tax on that in Bitcoin or your cash out of your pocket? That's what I was wondering.
Well, they want hard cash. Okay, so unless you can convert that Bitcoin into cash, unless you can find a buyer that you can offload whatever, how many coins you got to give you good hard cash, because that's what the federal government right now, that's all they want. Okay.
You got to figure out an offer.
That's it's almost like a virtual currency at this time, right? If you go to the store and you tell them, give me my money back in Bitcoin, it's not going to happen. They're going to give you some American currency, and the IRS won't. American currency, although you made $10,000 in a Bitcoin transaction, we're going to tax that $10,000 as a capital gain, and we want our portion of it. And you gave the band of capital gains from 5% to 20%, depending on how much your net worth is. So people that made that's worth a lot, they're probably at the higher end of that capital gains band, so they had to pay 20% of that 10 grand that they made.
Wow, so that tax game, something. That's why I said keep strict accounts. So we're just tapping into this. We're going to probably cover this into the next couple of weeks. But there it is, and think about it.
Yeah.
You just like, oh, I'm going to get into this. What do you call it? Investing in this. I'm going to buy some stocks, Johnson. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Do your research.
If you don't have a good accountant, if you don't have somebody that's keeping strict accounts for you, and they can tell you your slush fund, the money that you can have, that's mad money, and you could do this and consider this as a loss. If you invest in this way, you need to start learning certain things, because you'll be throwing money places and you'll be just feeling good. You might as well just throw it in the pot at church and just be like, all right, I gave.
Right. You get credit for that.
Yeah, at least you get credit for that.
You know, there was a story about Robin Hood, right? Robin Hood was involved in all these Senate hearings along with Reddit. And this one family is suing Robin Hood because their son was under the impression he was trading in margins, right? And they sent him a bill that was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he freaked out. Okay? He
said killed himself.
Killed himself. Okay? Thinking what he was trying to do was create enough, you know, income and hopefully some kind of a wealth in order to offset his parents having to pay for his education. But as it turned out, the kid didn't owe him any money. So, you know, there's no 800 number you can call. You don't talk to anybody at Robin Hood. Everything is done through emails or chat rooms or what have you. But their parents felt like because they, you know, averted, you know, just sent him this bill, who he wasn't even 18. I think he was like 17. Okay. So there's a certain age in which you still got to be in order to trade in the market. Okay. You got to do your due diligence. There's forms you have to fill out talking about your experience. So I think they got a pretty good case against Robin Hood.
Man, yes, they do. Well, look, that's our show today. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.